الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continue reading the chapter the author here entitled حفظه الله تعالى فقر القلوب فقر القلوب the hearts that are in need for Allah and trusting and relying upon Him alone سبحانه وتعالى. And the author he had touched on a number of topics under this chapter, and now we have reached the actual main aim and goal of this chapter, the main intent and purpose of this chapter. He says, حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ هَذَا وَإِنَّ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ خِصَالِ الْمُؤْمِنِ تَحْقِيقَ عُبُودِيَّةِ الْإِفْتِقَارِ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالْإِضْطِرَارِ إِلَيْهِ فَهِيَ رُوحُ الْعِبَادَةِ وَلُبُّهَا فَهِيَ رُوحُ الْعِبَادَةِ وَلُبُّهَا. So he says now, any after that which has preceded, that indeed from the greatest traits, characteristics of a true believer is actualizing and fulfilling the rights of al-ubudiyyah of al-iftiqar. The word al-ubudiyyah, it means ibadah, and it means servitude and devotion and veneration, humbleness and compliance and obedience. Any ubudiyyah. And there are many rites of ubudiyyah inwardly and outwardly. And the one being discussed now is ubudiyyah to al-iftiqar ila Allahi ta'ala wa al-ittirar ilayhi subhanahu fi kulli hal. That a person, he will worship Allah and devote himself entirely by realizing his great and dire need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every breath and every moment of his life, every breath and every step and every moment of his life. So this is, the Shaykh is saying, from the greatest attributes and traits of a true believer, that one, he will fulfill the rites and actualize this action of worship and servitude here, which is an action of worship proceeding from the heart. Al-iftiqaru ila Allahi wa al-ittiraru ilayhi subhanahu wa ta'ala. That one, he would humble himself and realize the great authority and power and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that a person, he is a slave and under the authority and control and command of Allah azza wa jal. When he will realize this affair and surrender and submit. He says, فَهِيَ رُوحُ الْعِبَادَةِ وَلُبُّهَا. This is the life of worship and its essence. The true life and the essence of worship is this affair here. He says, بِأَنْ يَعْلَمَ إِلْمَ يَقِينٍ أَنَّهُ مُفْتَقِرٌ إلى الله عز وجل محتاج إليه لا يستغني عنه طرفة عين. That is a person, he knows with certainty that he is in dire need of Allah عز وجل, in dire need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that he cannot do without his aid or help for the blinking of an eye. And one cannot do without Allah for the blinking of an eye. وذلك أن الإنسان بل جميع المخلوقات عباد لله تعالى فقراء إليه ممالك له وهو ربهم ومليكهم وإلههم لا إله لهم سواه لا إله لهم سواه. And this is because the human being, rather all of the creations, entirety, they're slaves to Allah, and they are poor and in need of Allah, and they are owned and under the authority of Allah, and Allah, He is their Lord, and He is their King and Master, and He is their true God, whom they should devote themselves and worship to. And there is no true God for them besides Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَالْمَخْلُوقُ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِن نَفْسِهِ شَيْءٌ أَصْلًا بَلْ نَفْسُهُ وَصِفَاتُهُ وَأَفْعَالُهُ وَمَا يَنْتَفِعُ بِهِ أَوْ يَسْتِحِقُهُ وغير ذلك إنما هو من خلق الله والله رب ذلك كله ومليكه وبارئه وخالقه ومصوره ومدبر شؤونه فما شاء الله كان وما لم يشأ لم يكون وما لم يشأ لم يكون. So he says, حفظه الله تعالى, that the human being, rather all of the creation in entirety, are slaves to Allah and poor and dire need of Allah and owned and belong to Allah. They belong to Allah, and Allah is their Lord and their owner and master, their King and their true God, whom they have no true God besides Him. So the creation, all of the creation, even a human being, the human being himself, he doesn't have anything in the first place. The human being himself, nothing is actually his in the first place. Rather, his soul and his very life and all of his characteristics, all of his traits, all of his attributes, all of his actions, everything that he benefits from or deserves or has and the likes, then all of this is from the creation of Allah. It is Allah Azza wa Jalla who has created the creation and provided for the creation and sustained the creation and given the creation the characteristics and attributes that they have. Whatever benefit they have, that's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever good they have, that's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Whatever you have of blessing or goodness, then it's from Allah. All of this is from the creation of Allah. Goodness and noble traits and prosperity and wealth, all of these traits that a person may have or hope to have, they're all traits that Allah has created and that Allah provides, subhana. So if a person, he has good characteristics and noble traits, this is the favor of Allah, that Allah had created him in the first place and provided him and given him and given him success to have these noble traits and to be safe from the contrary. He says, so Allahu wallahu azza wa jalla rabbu dhalika kulli. So Allah, he's the Lord of all of that in entirety. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he's the Lord of all of that in entirety. He's the Lord and the Creator and the Owner. He says, وَكُلِّ وَمَلِيكُهُ وَبَارِئُهُ وَخَالِقُهُ مُصَوِّرُهُ مُدَبِّرُ شِئُونِهِ. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, he's the Lord of all of that. He is the King and Master and Owner of all of that. He's the Creator and the one who has brought all of this into existence and given all of it its shape and its form. And Allah, he is the one who's disposing of the affairs of all of this in entirety. And in the creation, and the attributes and traits and characteristics that the creation has and the deeds that they perform, all of this is from the creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah, he is the King and he is the Owner. He is the one who has brought it into existence and he is the one who has given everything its shape and its form. And these affairs, they're under his command and authority. فَمَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانْ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَاءَ لَمْ يَكُمْ. So whatever Allah wills, it will happen. And whatever he does not will, it will never happen. فَلَا رَادَّ لِقَضَائِهِ وَلَا مُعَقِّبَ لِحُكْمِهِ. There is no one to repel his decree. No one can go around or over his judgment and rule. And he mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا. مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا وَمَا يُمْسِكْ فَلَا مُرْسِلَ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. And he mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that which Allah, he provides for the people for mercy, and there's no one who can withhold it. Though that which Allah, he provides for the people from mercy, then no one can withhold it. And whoever Allah withholds and does not show mercy, then no one can bring it or give it after him or besides him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, the issue of al-iftiqar and realizing one's dire need and ultimate necessity for the help and the aid and the guidance and the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every major and minor affair, this goes back to realizing and understanding the affairs of Tawheed. Tawheed al-ilmi first and foremost. So this iftiqar and the rest of these attributes and characteristics from that go back to the affairs of al-uluhiyya and worshipping Allah, al-ubudiyya and servitude before Allah, the actions that are performed outwardly, and before that, the actions that are performed with the heart, as we discussed in previous classes, love and hope and fear and trust and reliance. And now we're talking about al-iftiqar, wal-ittirar, illallahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be in dire need and humbleness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to know that one, he cannot do anything for himself. And to know that one, he cannot do anything for himself whatsoever, and no power or authority or might or any benefit to have good or any means to have any good or any benefit or to be safe from any harm or any difficulty. This is all in the hands of Allah, not in the hands of a person. This goes back to learning about the lordship of Allah Azza wa Jalla, about His rububiyyah and His authority and ultimate command, about His authority and ultimate command, and likewise learning about His beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection, subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is known as al-tawheed al-ilmi, the knowledge-based aspect of al-tawheed. Whenever it's learned properly, this is the benefit and the fruit. This is the benefit and the fruit. A person, he will realize that he's a slave and creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's under the command of Allah azza wa jalla, and he will submit to Allah and not to the creation. And he will humble himself before Allah and not to the creation. And he will love Allah, and what he loves from the creation will be for the sake of Allah. will be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will love Allah and that which Allah loves from the people, and likewise from the characteristics and traits and actions and statements and deeds. And he will entrust himself in entirety and surrender and submit himself wholeheartedly to Allah alone, because he knows that Allah, he's the creator, that Allah, he's the provider, that Allah, he's the sustainer. He has certainty about the issue of ar-rububiyyah. He has certainty about the fact that Allah, he possesses the attributes of perfection, a life that is perfect. He has no beginning and no ending. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's always powerful and strong. Allah, la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. Allah, he is always Allah, al-awwal, alladhi laysa qablahu shay, al-akhir, alladhi laysa ba'dahu shay, al-zahir, alladhi laysa fawqahu shay, al-batin, alladhi laysa dunahu shay. So the one who learns about Allah in this manner, then he will submit himself wholeheartedly, inwardly and outwardly to Allah, and trust and rely upon Allah, and know that nothing that he has from good is from himself. Rather, if he works hard and strives hard and takes the means and then is successful in the end, he knows that it's Allah who had created him, and it is Allah who had guided him, and it's Allah who has favored him, and it's Allah who has facilitated for him, and it's Allah Azza wa Jal who had made his efforts successful and beneficial. So therefore, whatever good he has will only increase him in humbleness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not in arrogance or not in pride, or not in self-amazement. Contrary to those who do not understand the affairs of Tawheed, or they have misconceptions with this affair, or they're overcome by their whims and their desires. So the Shaykh, he says, فَالْمَخْلُوقُ فَقِيرٌ إِلَى اللَّهِ مُحْتَاجٌ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ كُلِّ وَجْهٍ. And the creation in entirety, here specifically the human being. Many times the word makhluq, yani it means the creation, or a creature. But many times it's used to refer to people. So a person, faqirun ilallah, a person, human being, he is faqirun ilallah, he's faqir, he's poor, indigent, in great need before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, muhtajun ilayhi, in dire need for him, min kulli wajhin, from every aspect, yaqulullahu, Allah the Most High, he says, ya ayyuhannasu, antumul fuqara'u ilallah, wallahu huwa Al-Ghaniyul Hamid. O mankind, it is you who are fuqara. It is you who are poor and in need of Allah Azza wa Jal. Wallahu huwa al-Ghaniyul Hamid. And Allah, he is the one who is rich and free of all needs and worthy of all praise. فَلَيْسَ الْمَخْلُوقُ مُسْتَغْنِيًا بِنَفْسِهِ وَلَا بِغَيْرِ رَبِّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ. So the creation, human being, person, he can never do by himself. He can never suffice and make it through life relying on his self alone. Nor can he suffice without his Lord. Nor can he suffice without his Lord. The Shaykh, he says, وَقَدْ جَاءَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ الْقُدُوسِ أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى يَقُولُ. It has come in the Hadith al-Qudusi. It's mentioned like this. You can also pronounce it with a sukun on the dal. Al-Qudsi wal-Qudusi, both of them are proper. Al-Hadith al-Qudusi is a narration that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he narrates on Allah Azza wa Jal. That's other than the Qur'an. So it's a narration from the Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascribes the statement to Allah Azza wa Jal. So he mentions this well-known and famous and very beneficial hadith, a portion of it, Ya Ibadi. Allah, he says, Ya Ibadi, kullukum dhalun illa man hadaytuhu, fastahduni ahdikum. O my slaves, all of you are misguided, except for those whom I have guided. So therefore seek guidance from me and I will guide you. Ya Ibadi, kullukum jai' illa man at'amtuhu, fastat'imuni ut'imkum. O my slaves, all of you are hungry. All of you are hungry except for those whom I have fed. So therefore ask me to feed you and I will feed you. Ya ibadi, kullukum aar, illa man kasawtuhu, fastaksuni aksukum. O my slaves, all of you are bare without clothing except for those whom I have clothed. So seek your clothing from me and I will clothe you. Ya ibadi, innakum tukhti'una bil-layli wal-nahar, wa ana aghfiru adh-dhunuba jami'a, fastaghfiruni أَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. Oh my slaves, you are falling into sin all day and all night, making errors and falling into sin in the day and in the night. This, and I forgive all of the sins. So therefore seek forgiveness from me and I will forgive you. This is an amazing narration from the 40 hadith and collected by Al-Hafidh An-Nawawi, which is originally reported by Al-Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, in his Sahih. The Shaykh, he mentions here the statement of Ibn Rajab. He says, قال الحافظ ابن رجب رحمه الله هذا يقتضي أن جميع الخلق مفتقرون إلى الله تعالى في جلب مصالحهم ودفع مضارهم في أمور دينهم ودنياهم. He says that الحافظ ابن رجب, he mentioned, يعني in his interpretation of this narration in his work called جامع العلوم والحكم, which is an explanation of those 40 hadith of النووي with an additional 8 narrations, making them 50. And because originally those narrations of An-Nawawi, they're actually 42. So he added 8 narrations, making them 50. Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, al-Hanbali. And then he explained them in this great work, this great and very beneficial work that the Shaykh is transmitting from. He says, هَذَا يَقْتَضِي أَنَّ جَمِيعَ الْخَلْقِ مُفْتَقِرُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فِي جَلْبِ مَصَالِحِهِمْ وَدَفْعِ مَضَارِّهِمْ فِي أُمُورِ دِينِهِمْ وَدُنْيَاهُمْ فِي أُمُورِ دِينِهِمْ وَدُنْيَاهُمْ. He said that Al-Hafidh ibn Rajab, he says, rahimahullah, that this narration here, this necessitates, requires that the entire creation is all in dire need of Allah Azza wa Jal to bring about all of their best interests. Any good that they will have, they're in need of Allah, and to repel any harms or difficulties likewise in all of their religious and worldly affairs. وَأَنَّ الْعِبَادَ لَا يَمْلِكُونَ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ شَيْئًا مِنْ ذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ. And that the slaves, the people, they do not own any of that for their own souls whatsoever. Any person, no one has authority in reality over any of these affairs whatsoever. All of this is in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَأَنَّ مَنْ لَمْ يَتَفَضَّلِ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ بِالْهُدَى وَالرِّزْقِ فَإِنَّهُ يُحَرِّمُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّهُ يُحَرِّمُهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتَفَضَّلِ لَهُ عَلَيْهِ بِمَغْفِرَةِ ذُنُوبِهِ أَوْ بَقَتْهُ خَطَايَاهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. And whomsoever Allah does not bestow His grace and favor on in this life by guiding him and providing for him, then He will prohibit them from that in this life. And meaning this is the command of Allah. And again, the creation is the creation of Allah. And it is under the will of Allah and belongs to Allah absolutely in every aspect. So therefore Allah, He guides whom He wills and He leads astray whom He wills. And He provides for whom He wills and He makes the provisions strict and tight for whom He wills. It's His creation. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, belongs to Him. He does whatever He wills. Tabaraka wa ta'ala. But likewise He has informed us that along with His supreme authority and lordship, He's also the most knowledgeable and all-wise. And that which He does from guiding or misguiding or providing or straightening circumstances and situations is based upon His supreme knowledge and ultimate wisdom. It's based upon His supreme knowledge and ultimate wisdom. So whoever Allah does not favor and bless with guidance and provision, then they will be prohibited that in this life. And whoever Allah does not favor and bless with forgiving them their sins, then in the hereafter their sins and bad deeds will destroy them. Then in the hereafter their sins and their bad deeds will destroy them. فَالْأُمُورُ كُلُّهَا بِيَدِهِ الْهِدَايَةُ وَالْعَافِيَةُ وَالرِّزْقُ وَالصِّحَّةُ وَغَيْرُ ذَلِكَ وَمَا شَاءَ سُبْحَانَهُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ كَانَ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَأْ لَمْ يَكُونَ. So the affairs in entirety are in His hands. Guidance and well-being and provision and good health. And other than that, whatever He, the Most High, wills, it will happen and occur. And whatever He does not will, it will not happen nor occur. So if this is the case, what is the result? What should you do?
Submit.
That's the only thing you can do. Is to submit. And in this manner you will raise. You realize the authority and command of Allah Azza wa Jal and His power and ultimate strength, and you do not rebel in any manner whatsoever. You do not rebel against His universal commands, and you do not rebel against His legislative commands, whether you submit. How do you submit? With Tawheed. Al-Istislam lillahi bit-Tawheed. Wal-Inqiyadu lahu bit-Ta'ah. وَالْبَرَاءَةُ مِنَ الشِّرْكِ وَأَهْلِهِ. This is what you do. In this manner you will be raised. In this manner you will be raised. You submit to Allah with tawheed, meaning you realize His power and authority and command, and that His life is perfect, and He's strong and never weak, and He is powerful and never sleepy or tired, and He feeds and He's not fed, and He needs nothing. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that you are His slave. And you are His slave. So you believe that He is the true God and creator and provider, the one who's given everything in shape and His form. And you believe that He alone is worthy of worship. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, you surrender and submit to Him with tawheed, with the creed of a tawheed. And then whenever this is firm in your heart, after that will follow properly the actions. وَالْإِنْقِيَادُ لَهُ بِطَاعَةٍ. You comply to Him in obedience. You comply to Him in obedience. You comply to Him in obedience. This is whenever the creed of Tawheed sinks in the heart and takes root properly, it will bring about the fruits of obedience and submission and surrender. A person, whenever he realizes this affair, he will say, now I have no way out. There's nothing I can do. I cannot escape. I cannot escape. This is the creation of Allah. There's nowhere I can go. There's nowhere I can hide. That no one can help me if Allah doesn't help me. No one can help me if Allah doesn't help me. No one can save me if Allah doesn't save me. No one can guide me if Allah doesn't guide me. No one can protect me if Allah doesn't protect me. No one can protect me if Allah doesn't protect me. No one can help me if Allah doesn't help me. And then you bow down to Allah and you surrender and you submit to Him and you break down before Him and His authority and majesty, and you praise Him with love and veneration, and you comply to His commandments, and you learn His path and the way of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you strive to uphold those rights. And along with that, whenever it becomes rooted firmly, a person as well will free himself from everyone and everything that's contrary. وَالْبَرَاءَةُ مِنَ الشِّرْكِ وَأَهْلِهِ. And this is the true reality of Al-Islam. This is the true reality of Al-Islam. So he's telling us now, and likewise we had taken in the first class in this chapter, that this issue of Al-Iftiqar إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلُّ رُوحُ الْعُبُودِيَّةِ وَلُبُّهَا. Ruhu al-ubudiyya wa lubbuha. This is the essence and the life, the very essence and life of servitude and worship, meaning the reality of Al-Islam in entirety. True and sincere, humble, willful submission to the command of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Submitting to His universal command and to His legislative command, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and being a slave. So the affairs are in His hands entirety. So it's useless to rebel. You will not harm anyone but yourself. You will not oppress anyone but yourself. You will not bring any harm to anyone except your own soul. You cannot harm Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot benefit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, al-ghani, al-hamid. So therefore, the one who is wise, the one who has a sound mind, he will not rebel. He will submit and he will surrender. The Shaykh, he says, mentioning the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَكُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. Indeed, his command is nothing except that whenever he intends something, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will say to it, be, and it is. He will say to it, be, and it will be. And it be, and it will be. Meaning it will be just as He has decreed and commanded. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qala ta'ala, the Most High, He says, إِنَّمَا قَوْلُنَا لِشَيْءٍ إِذَا أَرَدْنَاهُ أَن نَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. He says, and our command, our statement, our word is nothing that except whenever we intend something, we say to it, be, and it is. Be, and it is. The Shaykh, he says, فَأَطَاؤُهُ سُبْحَانُهُ كَلَامٌ وَعَذَابُهُ كَلَامٌ فَإِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا مِنْ أَطَاءٍ أَوْ عَذَابٍ أَوْ غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ قَالَ اللَّهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. So the Allah, He provides, the Most High, His provision, and whatever He gives is from His speech. And He orders it and commands it. And the punishment is from His speech. And whenever He wants something, subhanahu wa ta'ala, from giving or from punishing, from providing and benefiting, or from punishment, or other than that, قَالَ اللَّهُ كُنْ. Allah, He will say to it, be, and it will be, فَيَكُنْ. فَكَيْفَ يُلْجَأُ إِلَى سِوَاهُ أَوْ يُقْضَعُ لِمَنْ دُونَهُ أَوْ يُطْرَبُ وَيُدْعَى غَيْرُ. So how could one seek refuge with other than Him? Or how could one humble himself before other than Him? Or how could one seek after and call on anyone other than Him. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. And for this reason, Allah the Most High, He says, فَابْتَغُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ رِزْقًا وَعْبُدُوهُ وَشْكُرُوا لَهُ. The meaning of this noble verse, and seek your provision from Allah and worship Him and show thanks to Him. The Shaykh, he says, فَالْعَبْدُ لَابُدَّ لَهُ مِنْ رِزْقٍ وَهُ مُحْتَاجٌ إِلَى ذَلِكَ فَإِذَا طَلَبَ رِزْقَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ صَارَ عَبْدًا لِلَّهِ فَقِيرًا لَهُ وَإِذَا طَلَبَهُ مِنْ مَخْلُوقٍ صَارَ عَبْدًا لِذَلِكَ الْمَخْلُوقِ فَقِيرًا لَهُ فَقِيرًا لَهُ. So the slave, a person, he must have provision. There's no doubt about that. This is something that is indeed a must. And if he seeks his provision from Allah, at this time he will become a slave to Allah. And he will be poor and in need of Allah. He will seek the provision from Allah. And again, this means that he will put his faith and trust and reliance upon Allah and take the means that are lawful and legislated for him to seek his provision. Not that he will sit in his home or in the masjid and say, I'm trusting Allah and putting my faith in Allah and I'm asking Allah to provide for me. La, when he will put his faith and trust in Allah and realize his dire need for Allah, and then he will go out and work. As we have seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mention in the hadith of Anas, and we read it in our previous class, لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ كُنْتُمْ تَوَكَّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ لَرَزَقَكُمْ كَمَا يَرْزُقُ الطَّيْرِ. That if you had put your faith and trust and reliance upon Allah truthfully in the manner prescribed, then Allah will provide for you the way He provides for the birds. تَغْضُوا خِمَاصًا وَتَرُوحُوا بِطَانٍ. That they go out in the morning with empty bellies and they return full. And they return full. So the one who seeks his provision from Allah, then at this time he will be a slave to Allah in dire need in front of Allah. وَإِذَا طَلَبَهُ مِنْ مَخْلُوقٍ صَارَ عَبْدًا لِذَلِكَ الْمَخْلُوقِ لِذَلِكَ الْمَخْلُوقِ فَقِيرًا لَهُ. And if a person, he seeks his provision from a creation, and from a person, then he will become a slave to that person. And he will be in dire need of that person, of that person. So again, the heart will trust and rely on Allah and hope and seek the help and aid of Allah. And then one, he will take the lawful legislative means. The lawful legislative means. He said, إِنَّ فَقْرَ الْمَخْلُوقِ وَاحْتِيَاجَهُ لِرَبِّهِ أَمْرٌ ذَاتِيٌ أَمْرٌ ذَاتِيٌ لَهُ لَا وُجُودَ لَهُ بِدُونِهِ لَكِنَّ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ يَتَفَاوَتُونَ فِي إِدْرَاكِ ذَلِكَ الْإِفْتِقَارِ أَوْ الْعُزُوبِ عَنْهُ. He says, so the faqr, the need, or the poverty that the creation has and their need for their Lord is in reality an affair that's in their very essence. An affair that's in their very essence. They will not exist except with Him. And a person, you cannot exist. Nothing in the creation exists except by the power and permission of Allah. Nothing in creation is in existence. Its very essence does not exist except for with the command and the permission, the power and the might of Allah Azza wa Jal. He says, but the creatures, the people, they vary in comprehending or realizing this need. Some of them they realize it, and some of them they're far from realizing that. وَالْعَبْدُ فَقِيرٌ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ جِهَتَيْنِ مِنْ جِهَتَيْنِ وَالْعَبْدُ فَقِيرٌ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ جِهَتَيْنِ. And the human being, the person, he is faqir, in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from two aspects. من جهة العبادة ومن جهة الاستعانة. From the aspect of worship and servitude and from the aspect of seeking help and aid. كما قال الله سبحانه. Just as Allah the Most High, He says, إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. The meaning of which is, you alone, O Allah, do we worship, and you alone do we seek aid and help from. The Shaykh, he says, فَالْعَبْدُ يَفْتَقِرُ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ جِهَةِ أنه معبوده الذي يحبه حب إجلال وتعظيم وقلبه لا يسلح ولا يفلح ولا يسر ولا يلتذ ولا يطيب ولا يسكن ولا يطمئن إلا بعبادة ربه ورنابة إليه. He says that a person, he's in dire need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the aspect that Allah, He is the one whom he worships, the one whom he loves, deifies, and the one he loves with honor and reverence. And his heart cannot be upright, nor successful, nor happy, nor find any delight, nor be good, or have any peace or tranquility or ease of mind, إِلَّا بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّي, except by worshipping his Lord. The heart was created to worship Allah. The heart was created to worship Allah. The heart was created to surrender before Allah. The heart belongs to Allah. It's from the creation of Allah. And the heart will never find peace and contentment, happiness and ease until it fulfills its purpose in life. And that is to submit and to surrender to Allah with tawheed, and to comply to Him in obedience, to free oneself entirely from shirk in His people. So the heart will never find ease or tranquility or peace, will never be good, will never have true joy and happiness, will never be upright and successful, except by worshipping its Lord and repenting and devoting itself to Him in entirety. وَلَوْ حَصَلَ لَهُ كُلُّ مَا يَلْتَذُّ بِهِ مِنَ الْمَخْلُوقَاتِ لَمْ يَطْمَئِنَّ وَلَمْ يَسْكُنْ. And if a person, he were to obtain everything that he could enjoy and find delight in from the creation, around him, he will still never truly be content and never find ease of heart and mind. That's why you find there are millionaires sometimes, and you find that one of them, he's living a life of grief and remorse, and in reality, although he has millions, he's the poorest of the people, the most impoverished of the people. You'll find him chasing his desires to forget, yani to find this tranquility and happiness in alcohol or in drugs and illegal relationships, so on and so forth, impermissible relationships. And then that sweetness that he finds, it only lasts for a brief moment. Then it's followed up after that with great bitterness, and then worry and stress and problems. You'll find one of them, even he will have millions of dollars, thousands of dollars, big home and a big car, and he will kill himself. Waliyadhu billah, he will overdose. Waliyadhu billah, he will drink and get drunk until he does something yani completely stupid, harming himself and others. Waliyadhu billah. And all of this is because they're searching for happiness in all of the wrong ways. And happiness, again, is only by submitting and surrendering to the one whom happiness is in his hands. And that is the Creator and the Provider and the Sustainer, the Lord, رب العالمين, Allah سبحانه وتعالى. So he says, إِذْ فِيهِ فَقْرٌ ذَاتِيٌ إِلَى رَبِّهِ مِنْ حَيْثُ هُوَ مَعْبُودُهُ وَمَحْبُوبُهُ مَطْلُوبُهُ وَبِهَذَا يَحْصُلُ اللَّهُ الْفَرَحُ وَالسُّرُورُ وَاللَّذَّةُ وَنِعْمَةُ وَالسُّكُونُ وَالطُمَأْنِينَةُ. He says, so therefore the person's need, his great need, subhanAllah, sometimes I want to just explain these words, but the one word, it has so many meanings. The word faqr, he's in need, he's poor, he's indigent, he's at the bottom, has nothing for himself whatsoever. So this is what he meaning from his essence, meaning you can't breathe, you cannot breathe, your heart cannot beat, your blood cannot flow, you can't even go to the bathroom, akramakum Allah, except with the permission of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Except with the help and the aid of Allah Azza wa Jalla. فَقْرُكَ فَقْرٌ ذَاتِي. You can't even, you won't even exist in this life for a moment except by the command and the will of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is what he's talking about. فَإِذْ فِيهِ فَقْرٌ ذَاتِيٌ إِلَى رَبِّهِ. So a person, his essence, his very essence is impoverished in front of Allah and in need, in dire need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from every aspect. Here saying from the aspect that Allah, He is the one whom is worshipped, and Allah, He is the one who is loved, and He is the one who is sought after. And the person, he's created to worship Allah and to love Allah and to devote himself to Allah and to seek after the pleasure and the aid of Allah and His mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, this cannot happen except if Allah helps him. So he's in need of Allah Azza wa Jal to help him to fulfill the purpose while he is living. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. So in this manner, if he were to realize and to strive to make Allah alone the one whom he worships, and the one whom he loves, and the one whom he's devoted to, and the one whom he strives to seek his pleasure ultimately and his love, then in this manner he will find all joy and all happiness and all delight and all blessing and all peace and tranquility and ease. So now on to the second aspect. وَالْعَبْدُ يَفْتَقِرُ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَنْ جِيهَةِ اسْتِيَانَتِهِ بِهِ لِلِسْتِسْلَامِ لِأَمْرِهِ وَالْإِنْقِيَادِ لِحُكْمِهِ وَالْقُضُوعِ لِشَرْئِهِ. And also a person, he is as well in dire need of Allah Azza wa Jalla from the aspect of seeking His help in order to surrender and submit to his command and to comply to his ruling and to humble himself before his legislation and application. إِذْ لَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَى تَحْصِيلِ شَيْءٍ مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَالْقِيَامِ بِهِ إِلَّا إِذَا أَعَانَهُ اللَّهُ. Because a person, he's not able to obtain any of this or to establish any of that which was just mentioned except if Allah helps him. So a person is in need to fulfill his purpose in life, and that is to worship Allah Azza wa Jal. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. And he's in need, in order to do that, to seek the help of Allah Azza wa Jal. And none of this can happen except if Allah allows him. He's under the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. He's in need of Allah Azza wa Jal to allow him to seek his help, to be able to worship him in the good manner. So therefore, a person, he must realize that the command is the command of Allah, and the creation is the creation of Allah, and we are all slaves of Allah, and this life is a test and a trial and examination, and we will return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and take us to account. And Allah has created an abode of peace and happiness and joy for those who believe in the unseen. They believe in Allah Azza wa Jal and they surrender to Him and submit in obedience. And He has created another abode of pain and agony and turmoil and remorse and regret and great hardship and punishment for those who rebel against Him and against His commands, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Shaykh, he says, نَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ أَنْ يُوَافِقَنَا لِتَحْقِيقِ ذَلِكَ وَحُسْنِ الْقِيَامِ بِهِ وَأَلَّا يَكِلَنَا إِلَىٰ أَنفُسِنَا طَرْفَةَ عَيْنٍ وَنْ يَهْدِيَنَا إِلَيْهِ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا. And we ask Allah to grant us success to actualize this and to establish it in a good way. And we ask Him to not entrust us to our own souls for the blinking of an eye. For the blinking of an eye, we ask Him to guide us to Him on a straight path. So this is a very beneficial chapter to realize this affair of al-iftikar ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that is, no doubt, as the author, he mentioned, the essence of servitude and worship. It's the reality of submission and surrender. The deen of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rather all of the prophets before likewise. And from an example of that is a supplication that has come in the book of Allah. And it's from the story of Musa alayhi salam. Who knows what I'm referring to? When Musa, he's going through great hardship and he's in need of Allah Azza wa Jal, he calls on Allah, Rabbi, inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Faqir. Oh Allah, I am faqir. Yani, Rabbi, inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin Taqir. Oh Allah, I'm in dire need for any good that you will send down for me. I'm in dire need for any good that you will send down for me. So this is something that the prophets and messengers, they realize. And this is how they reach their status. This is the favor of Allah upon them, that they were true slaves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, confessing their dire need for Allah Azza wa Jal in every circumstance and situation. They put their faith and trust and reliance upon Allah and they seek His pleasure. And they work in the avenues that are legislated and lawful, that lead to the pleasure and the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Subul as-salam. The avenues of righteousness and piety, the avenues of goodness which lead to the pleasure of Allah. Likewise, if we ponder over many of the adhkar in the morning and the evening specifically, you will find this idea here of al-iftikar ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so many different adhkar if you reflect on them. After this, the author, he mentions the sixth chapter. He says, taqwa al-qulub, the piety of the hearts. This chapter likewise is of utmost importance to discuss the affairs of at-taqwa, the affairs of at-taqwa, which means piety. Also, it means fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to summarize, it has been mentioned a definition by Talq ibn Habib, rahimahullah, from the Tabi'een. He mentioned the taqwa, and ta'amala bi ta'ati Allah, ala nurin min Allah, tarju thawab Allah, that you work in the obedience of Allah. At taqwa, piety, or true fear of Allah, is that you work in the obedience. Is that you work in the obedience of Allah, upon a light from Allah, hoping for the reward of Allah. To work in the obedience of Allah, upon a light from Allah. Any meaning upon sincere faith, and upon knowledge and insight. All the while, hoping for the reward of Allah. This is the issue of taqwa. A person who work in the obedience of Allah, beginning with the obligations. And then after that, the recommended affairs. At the head of them, the highly recommended affairs. The sunan al-mu'akkadah, for example. The sunan al-mu'akkadah. A person, he will begin with the obligations, and then the non-obligatory, the head of them, the emphasized one, the sunnah mu'akkadah. And he will perform these rites of obedience upon light. He'll perform these rites of obedience upon light. Upon light, meaning upon sincere faith, and based upon knowledge and insight and understanding of the legislation, not upon ignorance or customs or cultures, but based upon knowledge. Based upon knowledge, all the while his heart is alive, hoping for the reward of Allah Azza wa Jal. When tatruka ma'asiyat Allah, ala nurun min Allah, takhafu iqab Allah. And that you leave off the disobedience of Allah upon a light from Allah, while you are fearing Allah, the punishment of Allah. Takhafu iqab Allah. While you fear the punishment of Allah. While you fear the punishment of Allah. So this is the completion of a taqwa, that a person, he will leave off that which is forbidden and that which is impermissible. He will leave off all actions of disobedience in entirety upon a light from Allah. Meaning he would do that likewise upon sincere faith. Believing in the prohibition and the fact that it's unlawful and not pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. And not pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, at the head of that which is forbidden ultimately. Any that which is considered haram. And also, he would even go further and leave off some of the things that are disliked and discouraged as well. Whenever the taqwa takes root in his heart. Also fearing the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal. Or fearing falling into that which would earn the anger of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. He would do this upon light, upon insight, upon knowledge. And all the while afraid of the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal, afraid of the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is a very concise and beautiful and beneficial definition of at-taqwa. أن تعمل بطاعة الله على نور من الله ترجو ثواب الله وأن تترك معصية الله على نور من الله تخاف عقاب الله. تخاف عقاب الله. Who can repeat it? Yes. Ahsanta, ahsanta. Allahumma barik. Somebody else. On the right, on the left. In English. Say it again. أن تعمل بطاعة الله على نور من الله ترجو ثواب الله وأن تترك معصية الله على نور من الله تخاف عقاب الله. Who can repeat it? أحمد. Backwards. And تعمل بطاعة الله على نور من الله ترجو ثواب الله. أحسنت أحسنت. اللهم بارك اللهم بارك. Somebody else. نعم إبراهيم.
أن تعمل بطاعة الله
ما شاء الله اللهم بارك اللهم بارك. Who can translate؟
تعبد الله على نور من الله تقول ثواب الله وأن تترك معصية الله على ثواب على نور الله تخاف عقاب الله
تخاف عقاب الله. اللهم بارك اللهم بارك. أحسنت أحسنت محمد. Allahumma barik, Allahumma barik. Where's the translator? Where's the Abu Bakr? Can you read? Can you read? Can you read? Did they read?
No.
Anybody can translate it without reading? Go ahead, read it, read it. Tafadhal, Abu Bakr.
Okay. That you. That you work in the obedience of Allah, upon the light of Allah.
From Allah.
From Allah, upon the light from Allah, hoping for the reward of Allah, and that you remember the, and that you...
You leave.
That you leave.
You can't read your own writing. The disobedience. The disobedience.
The and that you leave the disobedience of Allah upon a light from Allah, fearing the punishment of Allah.
Ahsanta, ahsanta, Allahumma barik. Who to? Naam. Say it again. You act upon the obedience of Allah. Naam. You work in the obedience of Allah, yes. Upon a light from Allah. Hoping for the reward from Allah. And leaving the disobedience of Allah upon a light from Allah, fearing the punishment of Allah. Ahsan. What does it mean upon a light from Allah? Knowledge. Knowledge and Iman. Iman. Knowledge. Any knowledge that is knowledge, that's Iman. Knowledge in the heart meaning Iman. You do it based upon sincere faith and light and knowledge. And knowledge, not upon darkness and ignorance, not upon customs and cultures. Naam. ما شاء الله اللهم بارك. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.